Hello there, Podcast Land. This episode of the Behind the Barricade podcast is sponsored by Podcast Texts. Podcasters, do you want to expand your podcast reach to 360 million, maybe even more people? Do you want to make your podcast searchable on Google, Yahoo, even Ask Jeeves? Then look no further than Podcast Texts. You can increase your podcast reach exponentially. You can also reach the deaf and hearing impaired. They can read your podcast. It's unbelievable the amount of ways Podcast Text can help you. Maybe you have a few links you'd like to include. Not a problem. You can include them thanks to Podcast Texts. Seem too good to be true? Visit PodcastTexts.com to create a more dynamic user experience for your audience today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Behind the Barricade podcast, and here are your hosts, John O'Connor and Daniel Tye.
The name City Under Siege evokes imagery of furious, raw metalcore. However, their first impression is a youthful blend of Paramore, Fall Out Boy, and the Somerset's aesthetic wrapped up into one glimmering, glitzy package. I sat down with the lead vocalist, John Whitlinger, to talk about their upcoming EP and to look back on the artists that lent them their influences. This is episode 94 of Behind the Barricade with Kevin Pereira. Thanks for tuning in. Enjoy! All right, John, good evening.
Hi, how's it going?
You know what's going all right, man. So, City Under Siege, right? You guys, like, whenever I hear that name, before I heard you guys' music, I often, you know, immediately jump to, like, metal and punk and something really imposing, right?
Yeah.
Can you tell me about, like, can you just tell me about your name, that name, for a bit?
And how that started? It's a name I kind of came up with in high school, actually, when I was in a different band. Then I quit that band and kind of started a solo project thing that I wanted to do that kind of sounded like Dashboard Confessional or something like that. And a few years down the road, I'd always sat on that name. And when I started this band, I just kind of was like, oh, it's called City Under Siege, because finding a band name is really, really hard, and that seemed like a good name, and I didn't really think about the connotations it had of being, like, kind of, like, more of a heavier-sounding name.
Yeah.
But I get that a lot, actually. A lot of bands are like, oh, so, like, you're metal or whatever, and I'm like, no, we're actually pretty poppy.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it just kind of fakes everybody out, but it's really hard to find a good band name, so I've kind of just stuck with it. I'm happy with it, I guess. So.
I got you. Yeah, it's just like sort of like, you know, band like you, like a, you hear defeater or any sort of verb, the noun, or and you immediate or something of the lines of, you know, old school hardcore, and like you immediately get this, like, you know, sort of gritty image, and now I'm hearing, you know, this mix of what feels like the Somerset with you know, a bit of Paramore, a bit of old school Fall Out Boy, right?
Yeah, you could say that. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Those are all influences. I mean, we grew up listening to, you know, all that kind of stuff, for sure. I mean, Fall Out Boy was one of my favorite bands in high school, and I didn't really listen to that much Paramore or anything like that, but I could see where you you get those influences. Like, some of my bands that we draw most of my influence from are like bands like Reliant K and Brand New.
Oh man, Reliant K.
And like Dashboard Confessional, those kind of bands are the bands I listen to like on repeat and like always seem to find their way into my music.
Absolutely. You referenced high school a couple times. How many years has it been since you were in that band that you first originally conceived the name City Under Siege for?
Man, it must have been about 10 years ago.
Alright.
I was in high school in that other band, and I thought of that name. Yeah, it was quite a long time ago. I'm an old man now.
All right. I feel that. Yeah, we're all pretty old over here. We're all pretty old, except for me. I think I'm the youngest on the team, actually. The energy team. I'm still in college, man. I haven't been off the boat in about 3 years.
There you go.
Yeah. So all right. So obviously, you know, Reverb Nation. I got all this music from Reverb Nation, and then. Then I got your new song, Killing Time. I really enjoyed that, because it feels like, in addition to taking those, you know, power pop influences that you described and you have influence from, you also took this in this more indie alternative direction, right?
Yeah, I feel like, that song kind of, I wrote it real quick one day, and it kind of, it came after I was listening to a lot of Mumford & Sons, which I feel like it was.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely heard Mumford in there.
Yeah, so I think that's kind of like what influenced the sound of that. And our whole new record that we just finished recording that's coming out later this year is kind of all geared towards that. There's no more acoustic songs, but there's a lot more acoustic guitar in it. It's a lot more like it's just a very more like matured sound compared to like super like poppy stuff that we've been doing in the past.
Absolutely. So tell me about the recording process for this album. Tell me about how you guys, you know, first came up with it, and then you took it through the writing process, and then you actually laid it all out.
Well, writing for us is really me writing most of it, so it's like, what I did first was I've been really, really wanting to work with a guy named Mark McCluskey, who's done like albums with Weezer and Motion City Soundtrack and Alistair and a lot of my favorite bands. And I contacted him last year, and he lives in New York City now. So I contacted him, and he loved my ideas that I had. I just sent him a few like acoustic tracks of me like just playing in my living room of like, this is the kind of direction I want to go with our band, like, what do you think, you want to work with us? And he loved it, and so we connected, and I just flew out to New York City, and we just sat in his apartment for a week and wrote the whole record in a few days. Me, him, and my guitar player Matt, we pretty much just three of us wrote the whole record in a matter of a couple days up there, and then we just pretty much tracked everything in his little apartment in New York City, and then went to the studio for a few days to do drums and lay down guitar and vocals and all that. But it actually happened really quick, and we recorded the whole record in about 2 weeks. So
wow.
It was crazy.
That's actually pretty fantastic.
Yeah, it was different. There's been times where we've written songs that took us like 2 weeks to do one song, and then this EP, I mean, it's only seven songs, but this new EP that's going to be coming out like really happens super, super quick, which is weird because Killing Time, the first single off of it, we actually didn't record with Mark. That was the only song we did back in Buffalo, actually. We did it at the Goo Goo Dolls studio, and we worked with a guy named Jay Zabricki on that, and Robbie from the Goo Goo Dolls owns a studio that we did that one in. It was pretty cool to work in there.
That's insane. Dude, all these bands, like, I'm getting such a huge nostalgia trip, right? Like, this, I remember, like, you know, the year of 2005, 2006, I'd be sitting in the living room with my brothers just listening to Fuse and, like, you know, watching all these, you know, bands come on and their music videos would play, and it was just, oh man.
Yeah.
I'm geeking right now because I'm just talking to you and hearing all these, you know, all these bands that I used to love, and you know, dude, just to hear that come out in your music, like, that's, for me, it takes me back, and I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah, it seems to be something that, like, you know, all these bands that were big in 2006, 2007 are all doing, like, reunions now this year and stuff, and, you know, we're playing this festival here in Dallas called So What, and we're opening up for, you know, May Day Parade, We the Kings, like, all these bands, like, May Day Parade and We the Kings are doing, like, reunions, and For the Sick of the Kids doing a reunion, like, all these bands.
That's right. That's right.
Stuff like that, so it's all coming back.
I have to say, there's actually probably the most disappointing thing for me, as an you know, member of the audience, is to see bands come back and just do reunion shows, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's sort of like, with Seosin and Under Oath, you know, all the, like, you know, two of my favorites of all time. They both reformed after this, you know, several year long hiatus, and now I can't expect them to ever see them, you know, release new material. It's just, oh, they're back, but I don't think I could ever, you know, expect to see a new album, because, and I'll just have, you know, these old records for reference.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's almost like a lot of times when these bands come back and do a new record, it's never as good as that, like, lightning in a bottle that they captured back in 2007, so I almost don't mind it, but, you know.
Right, it almost sounds kind of stale.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, while we're on the subject, that actually brings me to a point. Blink-182, right? You know, the pop punk giants. What do you have to say as them having any sort of influence over your sound? Did you ever find that?
Probably, yeah, a lot in our earlier stuff for sure. I mean, I grew up listening to, you know, like, the first music I listened to really was punk music, and I was really into listening to, you know, like, the Expendables, and I listened to a lot of, like, pop punk stuff too, like, you know, Blink-182, Sum 41, that kind of stuff. So that obviously was, like, my first delve into music, really, was listening to all that kind of stuff. I feel like, so that had my earliest influences. If you ever heard my old bands, or, like, our original stuff, it sounded very, very, very much like Blink-182 and that kind of stuff. But I feel like a lot of bands start there and mature from there. So it's kind of like a normal progression of things to where we are now.
It is. And that's why I've got to ask you about how you felt, you know, because you did mention that when these bands come back after so long, they release this album, it sounds good, but it's nowhere near as, you know, lightning in a bottle. California, you know, produced by John Feldman of Goldfinger, obviously it's a nice look back on the era of Blink, but in your eyes, what do you think of it as, you know, as a standalone CD in their discography?
I thought it was great, honestly. I thought it was really, really good. It sounded like their old stuff, and I wasn't disappointed in it at all. When it came out, I listened to it a ton.
Yeah. My brother is an absolutely massive fan. He's grown up, he's a little bit older than me, but he grew up on it. So I got him the album for his birthday, and he was absolutely psyched. But later he'd tell me that it almost sounded a bit forgettable in comparison to, say, Take Off Your Pants and Jacket, you know, Enema of the State, all those iconic, you know, all those more iconic, you know, works that they've produced.
Yeah. I mean, I think it also has a lot to do with where you are in your life when you're listening to them and all that kind of stuff. So I think that has a lot to do with how memorable it was for you. Because when you were 16, 17 years old, I feel like you could connect to that kind of music a lot easier than you can now once you're older, you know?
Right.
Years later.
Yeah, you do kind of tend to feel a little bit out of place, right?
Yeah, it's just kind of like you're not as angsty or you're not as pissed off at the world or whatever.
You don't want to leave your hometown as badly.
Yeah. So I think it's a little bit harder to connect with that kind of stuff when you're older. That probably has something to do with it.
Yeah, I'd imagine. It's very much this tight-knit grouping of associations of, you know, time and sound and what's going on at the moment. Yeah, shit. Good stuff. So you're the vocalist. Tell me about how you got to being, again, the songwriter and leading force in the band.
Well, it kind of just, like I said, I was in a bunch of other bands before this, and I was just, like, trying to be a guitar player, and I didn't really write much at all. I just wanted to play guitar, play keys, because my original instrument was piano, actually. I took piano lessons for quite a few years, and so I just wanted to either do piano or play guitar in a band, and I didn't get into my first band until I was like a senior in high school. After that in college, you know, started playing in a couple different bands and just trying to be a guitar player. But then I was in one band and we had a lead singer that just kind of sucked. And everyone was like, dude, like everyone wanted to play instruments and nobody wanted to sing. So I was like, I'll do it. I'll just sing. And I didn't even write the songs in the beginning. It was more like our guitar player was writing the songs, and I was just singing them. And, admittedly, back then, you know, we sucked. We were horrible. And then when I quit that band or whatever and just started my own little solo project thing, I wanted to do something, you know, I was just like, I just want to be, like, Dashboard Confessional and just, you know, do something like, you know, acoustic, me and acoustic guitar. So then that was when I really wrote, like, my first song. And then I started, like, people started wanting to play with me and whatnot. I kind of put together a band, and it just kind of, like, happened. It wasn't anything that I really planned on. It just kind of got, like, thrown in my lap, and I just kind of, like, let it happen. And over the years, I've tried to perfect that craft. But, I mean, I'm still not the greatest singer or anything like that, but I just really, really enjoy songwriting. I think that's my strong suit more so than singing or anything like that, so...
Absolutely. And the important thing to remember, I think, especially, you know, as a musician, it's to remember that while you aren't the, you know, best at it, unless it's your livelihood, unless it's your everything, the entire point is to just enjoy it, because if it's not something that you can get into, it's just difficult to create something natural, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's all about having fun and, you know, fulfilling that part of your life. So, I mean, if you're not having fun, it's not worth doing. So that's the way I just look at it. And, yeah, music for me, I mean, I would love for it to be my only source of income and my livelihood at some point here. But until I can 100% make it my livelihood and support myself on just playing music, yeah, it has to just, like, be fun and be what I want to do, so...
Absolutely.
Passion project.
One can only hope. And that, actually, you guys are a relatively, you know, small group, right, so far?
Yeah, I mean, we've had a few cool things happen and whatnot, but, I mean, we haven't, like, really signed with any major labels. We've been signed a couple times to some small indie labels and stuff like that. We got, you know, one of our songs, Believe, was on, like, MTVU and Fuse and stuff for a couple of months. And, like, we've had a few little, like, blips on the radar, but nothing that, like, really gave us, like, huge momentum or, like, big-time, like, success or anything like that.
I gotcha. But, I mean, as long as you keep putting it out there, eventually it'll catch steam.
I mean, that's the goal, I guess. But I used to think you was just like, oh, throw as much crap against the wall and like see what sticks kind of thing. I like just keep doing it and doing it. But you know, and it was a lot of times, like even with our self-titled EP that we put out a couple of years ago, it was kind of just like, you know, we were trying to cater everything towards what we thought we had to be, or like what we thought people wanted to hear, or like, we need to be this like pop group, like that's what's going to make money, and we just need to be, you know, poppy. And I don't think that it necessarily fit who like I was, or like fit what I wanted to do. It was just like me trying to fit myself into a mold of like, all right, I just want to like write music that everyone else is going to like, and try and like get famous off that, or make money off it, or whatever. And with this new record, I just kind of gave up on all that crap, because it just doesn't work. Like, I feel like people want to hear like real, like the real you, and they want to connect with like your reality. And so I just wrote this whole new record, like totally, like I just threw out everything, like, all right, I'm not going to try and write a pop hit. I'm not going to try and write like a song that sounds like anything. Like, I'm just gonna write songs that sound like City Under Siege, and songs that like come from my heart, and like I'm gonna write shit that I wanna write and not worry about like if people are gonna like this or not. And obviously we haven't put anything out yet, but I've been, you know, I've shown the tracks to some friends and some, you know, some close business associates and whatnot, and people are like, I think that we accomplished that with this new record. Just writing from like the heart, and writing songs that I connect with, instead of worrying about if the audience is going to connect with it. You know,
that's perfect. That's perfect. That's exactly it. I honestly think that people have a very distended view of how musicians operate. Does that make any sense? Like. They'll hear a song that they don't particularly like, and they'll immediately assume that they just wanted to, that the band in question just wanted to write a pop hit, that they just wanted to, you know, make something that everybody likes listening to, and it's ear candy, and therefore it's, you know, it's good to, you know, it's good to go off the press. But I also feel like that's very much an oversimplification of what the artist is about, because, you know, you see all these, you know, you see all these different experimental bands, you see all these, you know, rock, everything from rock and metal to hip hop, and, you know, they release something that sounds somewhat predictable, that sounds somewhat that you can, you know, get down to, and everybody immediately assumes you're a sellout. And I disagree with that.
I mean, there's only so many chords you can play and so many chord progressions. They've pretty much all been done before, so it's just a matter of putting your own spin on something and trying to make something new and fresh. And I think that's what every musician is striving for, is to make something fresh and new that, like, sounds different, because, honestly, everything's already been done. It's just, like, how are you going to flavor the music? How are you going to present it and dress it up and, like, and make it your own? Because it's really, really hard nowadays to make something that's unique and different. So it's all really coming down to if you can make something that's real. I think people are just looking for real, and they're looking for something they can connect with, at least with our style of music, like just, you know, playing, you know, we're just like a pop indie rock band, you know, like it's just like, it's got to be like real. And I think that's what we are striving to do now, because, you know, I'll be the first one to admit, for years I was just trying to write stuff that I was like, well, I want to sound like, you know, I want to make our sound, like, I want to write a song that sounds like One Direction, or I want to write a song that sounds like this band or that band, and it just doesn't work when you're trying to always be somebody else. Like, you need just be yourself and let yourself come out in music.
Absolutely. And it's all, and it's, in addition to being a matter of originality for the audience, for the actual band, it also needs to be a matter of something original for the listener, and to see and to hear something that sounds forced, to hear something that sounds like it, you, like you intentionally put yourself within this box to try and make something. That's the biggest turnoff that anybody can have when listening to music, right?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like people can read right through it a lot of times, and they're like, oh man, this is just a, you know, this is just a band that wants to be like another band, you know?
So, yeah, like they, like these guys intentionally jocked Pierce the Veil, or these guys are basically Under Oath, or, you know, hell, these guys are basically Fall Out Boy, but with less melody, like...
Yeah, exactly, yeah, and you're always never going to be as good as the band you're trying to be. That's why you need to just be yourself, so...
Exactly, because chances are you probably have something that's, you know, far, you know, in far more abundance than whatever they did, you know? You guys draw influences from Paramore, from One Direction, and I was listening to your sound, and I hear, you know, a little bit of glitz, and I hear a little bit of, you know, almost flair to it that I can't really place in the other in the other bands that I just mentioned. It has this youth to it that even in 2017 still sounds so fresh.
Well, that's awesome. I'm glad you hear that.
Yeah, man.
I'm glad that came out, but yeah, I don't know how that necessarily happened, I guess, but you know, I'm glad that you can hear that in the music.
But yeah, that's what I'm trying to get at, is that when you stop thinking about what you're trying to do and you just kind of roll with it, everything turns out so much better.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, all right. Is there now, as we begin to close this off, Mr. Whitlinger, how can our listeners find you? How can they connect with you?
Well, you can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, all that good stuff. Our handle is just Cuss Rock, CUS Rock, and then you can follow us on Facebook. It's, you know, facebook.com/CityUnderSiegeMe. And we, you know, all our music is on like Facebook and Reverb Nation. And you can also, like, if you want to just stream our music, we're on Pandora, we're on Spotify, we're on Apple Music, we're on Amazon, we're on everything. So, you know, you can find us literally any digital media outlet, we are on it. So it's really, really easy to find us and listen to our music for free. And obviously, you can look us up on YouTube. We got a bunch of music videos on YouTube. Anywhere on the internet you can find us, or any streaming device you can find us as well.
Brilliant. All right. And to anyone else listening, that was John Whitlinger from City Under Siege, and I'm Kevin Pereira. You can find me on Twitter at Grand Theft Academia. You can find me on Instagram at Pereira.K. Follow us on Facebook, and we'll be tuning in next time. John, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely, it was a pleasure. Have a good evening.
You too.
Life folds you down so low, you know that I descend. To hold it all together, you know we can't be friends. You drag me on this journey, you know my heart won't bend. My heart is such a fortress, it's you I can't. I lost sight of everything inside of your embrace. face.